Blog Talk Radio.
To get myself under control there before I stopped the complaints. I told you, Ginger. If y'all didn't know, I am such a patriot. I so love my country. I talk bad about it, but yeah, I love my country.
Couldn't
imagine living anywhere else. But I, as I told Ginger before the show, I'm one of those people that run up to the soldiers in the store and I'm crying and shaking their hands.
Aww.
And every time I hear the Star Spangled Banner, I just get all choked up. I just completely choked up. Just like, oh my God. Okay, I can't say anything until I get this under control. I have this lump in my throat. Oh my God.
Oh, that's sweet.
So, much love to our soldiers out there. My mom was a soldier.
Yes.
Ginger has a special soldier in her life.
Yes, I do.
And to all of those of you out there that are celebrating with your soldiers, get them nice and fat today. Cater to them. Bring them some barbecue or whatever it is they like. Because I know some soldiers don't like barbecue, I found out over the weekend. Like, I will be taking some brioche, please, and some wine. Okay, if you got that kind, bring it to them. You know what I spent last night doing, too?
What did you spend last night doing?
I played some Modern Warfare, being Baby Natrix.
Ooh, was it good?
It's a little too easy, and I had it on a hard setting. This is why I don't play FPSs.
Yeah, I was talking about FPSs with a friend of mine last night. They were asking about one, whether or not they should play. And I have to understand, the market is so saturated, and right now, games are so easy, there's not really any that has any, I don't know how to put this, they're not competitive, they don't challenge you, they're weak.
Yeah. Over the weekend, I played a little bit with ZQ before she bailed out on me. Yes, I'm going to talk bad about you. You're not going to let this down for months, sister.
You were in trouble.
Mm-hmm. You're in all kinds of trouble. But so it's fun to play with someone else, but I decided I was going to play single players after she left. And I was blowing through levels like nothing. It really was not a whole lot of challenge. Whereas we played Guns of Icarus yesterday, which I found a little challenging and much more exciting because I had so much to do. If you listened to our show yesterday, we did a little brief funny review show on Icarus. We got a special preview.
Yes. Oh, my God. That game is so much fun.
Now, that one's awesome.
Yeah, I know. I mean, seriously, I was having a hard time pulling myself back to even ask them questions because I was like, oh, I want to play. Oh, this is fun.
Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, not good, because all I wanted to do is sit there and play.
Yes, and I didn't touch it again last night because I said, if I go in, I'm not coming out, and I had other stuff to do, which I still haven't gotten done, so I still can't go in until I actually post up the stuff that we told you we were going to put up for you for Guns of Icarus. But I can't, in comparison with it in Modern Warfare, I got to say, guys, y'all need to play something else. And the market is, Ginger's right, is super, super saturated, which makes gaming life boring. It's either those kind of games or it's the orcs and trolls. And I'm like, it was just...
Yeah, there's only so many trolls that I can kill. There's only so many, go kill 15 rats. That's what I say. Sorry.
There's always a rat quest. Have you noticed that? There's one
always,
quest.
Always.
There's one in Ow. There's one in Dark Ages of Camelot. There's always a rat quest. Or you have to bring the tails of the rat or somebody's teeth or...
Yes. Yes, always. And it's like, really, what are you making out of this? This is so disgusting.
I got to tell you, I left Lord of the Rings online because they had me hunting for, what was it? I had to have the rat pelt to make a glove. And I said, you know what? I'm done with this rat business. I'm done.
And yes, yes.
And I liked the Lord of the Rings game. Sad. Anyway, happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day. Yay!
Yay. There's a little bit of news floating around today. Not much.
Memorial Day news floating around?
Just a little bit. And good morning to Joe, who says I'm not the only one. He's the same way about being a patriot.
And that's awesome.
And Jay gave us a compliment. You are most welcome. See, we were going to take the day off, but we decided not to. Or we were going to be drunk on the air, but yeah, we decided not to do that too.
Yeah, yeah. I really, really debated about the whole being drunk on air thing. That sounded like fun.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to be fired.
Well, I would have had to fire both of us because I debated it too. I got some speculation and rumor, if I may.
What do you got?
Well, you know, Facebook released a universal app store, or they were saying they were going to once they released the IPO, and they have a camera app for the iPhone as well. So the rumblings around the campfire is that Facebook might be looking to make a Facebook phone.
A Facebook phone?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I remember hearing something about this.
Mm-hmm.
Months back, but I don't really remember now.
I don't know. People are saying it's a great idea, but I think that's a terrible idea, actually. They're saying, of course, it won't make a dent in against the people that are already using Facebook on your phones. And they're thinking that now the rumblings are leaning more towards them not doing it because they remember they're supposed to buy Instagram and it was $1 billion,
mm-hmm,
and they didn't buy it. So I don't know that they're going to do this. Like I said, it's a rumbling. I think you guys should stay out of the phone business.
I mean, we heard so much bad stuff about the IPO last week for Facebook. And then last night, I didn't read it. I wish I had. I was so tired. It was like 1 a.m. I saw a news story come across talking about how this flat IPO is not really a bad thing after all. I wish I had read it. So,
Well, there is also a thing up on the New York Times. Nick Bilton, who works at the New York Times, is also saying that the reason they're believing it's going to happen is Facebook has already hired more than half a dozen of the formal Apple engineers. They're also looking at purchasing Opera, which is, you know, a common browser on cell phones. People they hired from Apple, they worked on the software and the hardware for the iPhone, and some of them worked on the iPad. So Facebook may have something big in the works. And in one way it would be smart because honestly, like we said, Facebook, all it is basically a web-based incarnation of AOL from back in the day, honestly.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. So it might make sense for them to get into the hardware business in one sense, but in another, if you guys are going to do that, you're going to have to really bring it. And when I say bring it, it's going to be like we just touch it and have instant orgasm. Just, oh my God, that is ever.
I like this idea. I like this idea a lot.
Look, correction, instant geek gathering. Just like, ah! Hey, Ginger!
What?
Oh, it's Memorial Day. Work it out.
Exactly. All right, so speaking of working it out, Sony, I don't like you right now. new patent. Sony patent pauses games for advertising.
Yeah, they do.
A new Sony patent will allow the company to pause your gameplay while it serves up advertising. Delightful. In the illustration.
Where they got it from.
Huh?
You know where they got that from, don't you?
No.
The iPad. iPad actually doesn't pause in the middle, but continue. I'll tell you
that's
about it.
Annoying. Mm-hmm. All right, so in the illustration submitted with the patent, cars are racing against other cars and some louder speakers or warning lights are shown. The gameplay pauses and then a soda ad appears. After the ad is served up, the game resumes. Companies have tried subtle and not-so-subtle ways of advertising in games, but this might be the most irritating way of handling it that we scene. On the other hand, advertiser-sponsored games could give players access to AAA titles without having to pay the premium prices usually associated with them. How Sony would use this type of patent beyond irritating players, we don't know, the writer says, but we will keep you posted on it, and when they do, we'll let you know.
Wow. Well, how the iPad one works is if it's a free game, they, as soon as you're done with whatever round you're playing, like playing Order Up, you hear me talk about often, in between you buying your, you have to buy plates to sell to your customers for the day, or you order your supplies, and between you doing that, when the game is loading up, it shows you an advertisement. Now, it allows you the option to skip it, but it will come up, and it'll show you part of the advertisement, but, you know, in that vein, I guess, along with the advertisers, it's okay. The advertisers are okay with that. The players are okay with that. It doesn't bother me. But I do remember, and I want to say it was Rainbow Six Vegas, was really bad about putting that in the game. And at one point, if I'm not mistaken, I think this was when Iron Man 2 came out. If you went near the poster in the game, it would actually pop up and show you this whole trailer. And I'm like, no.
That's kind of annoying.
It is. Now, there's a way that it was done good. I'm gonna go back again to my Matrix Online, where the game was made, you know, it was a city. So billboards, obviously, were real billboards for movies. And things. That's expected. I either notice it or I don't when I'm playing. It's unobtrusive. But if they're talking about pausing you, if you're in the middle of playing something,
like, I would be hot.
Ooh.
Oh. I mean, because you get into it and you get this whole little mind frame going on and you don't want to back away from it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you lose your train of thought. You forget what you're going to do, what move you're about to pull off. Oh, not good.
That's some angry gamers. Y'all better, if you're going to do it, better do it well, where it's just, it doesn't bother.
Yeah.
Oof, popping up in the middle of what I'm about to snipe somebody is a bad thing. I'm going to turn the game off and take it right back to the store. I'm going to need my store credit. Thank you very much. Okay.
Yes.
All right, guess what I got?
What do you got?
Top 10 charts.
Yay! I love the top 10 charts.
I know you do. All right, y'all want to know what everybody was playing last week?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you. Number 10?
Number 10!
FIFA Street.
Oh, wow. It fell all the way down to 10. Yay!
Number 9, Diablo 3.
Number 9!
Number 8?
Number 8.
Prototype 2. Number 7?
Number 7.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Number 6.
Number 6, because it's only one letter off from my favorite word.
It's the Sniper Elite version 2. Just wrong. Wrong.
I love it.
Just wrong. Number 5.
Number 5.
12.
Again. It's not leaving. It's not leaving. Number 4.
Right.
Number 4. Dirt Showdown. What the hell is Dirt? You know what? I don't want to know. I remember. Oh, God. I do remember Dirt. I can't believe I forgot that. Okay. Number 3. Ginger.
Number 3.
Dragon's Dogma. You're fired. You've been coming with.
I know. I dropped it. My bad.
Stop playing with those muddlings. Number 2.
I don't have it on.
Number 2.
Number 2. Because number 2 is what people like to do.
Max Payne 3. Number 1.
Number 1.
Ghost Recon.
Wow. Awesome.
I don't know why. Ubisoft, you have lost me altogether. You messed up my Splinter Cell and my Ghost Recon. I think I'm done with you. I think we're breaking up. We're over, Ubisoft.
Breaking up.
We are. We're breaking up. Come get your box of stuff. To the left, to the left. Come get it, Ubisoft.
Oh, we got to get Corey to sing more often. All right. I think I talked about this. Thursday? Yeah, Thursday, because Friday we didn't have a show, because Friday I had to go...
Get her teeth out pretty.
Yes. And that was actually not bad. I usually hate the dentist, but that was actually not bad.
Jay says, your favorite word is sex? That's strange.
Yeah, that's my favorite word. All right, so New York State anonymous commenter Bill Author issues a statement.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. What a difference a few days makes for a politician with an unconventional idea. By the way, I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. After getting a little pushback from constituents, New York State Assemblyman Dean Murray, a Republican, issued a statement trying to clarify the intended purpose of his billing to deal with anonymous internet comments. One could categorize the statement as more of a walk back than a clarification. Right, so what exactly did he say? The main thrust of his bill is that it would not ban anonymous comments that people complain about, but would only apply to factual concerns, not opinions.
Oh, please.
The biggest problem is who decides what a fact is and what is opinion? Site owners. Don't they already moderate their user comments? And if they do, why do they need another layer of bureaucracy and a complaint system added to that, to what they already do?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what he says is, over the past few days, there has been a healthy and productive discussion regarding the Internet Protection Act, legislation I sponsored to protect victims from libelous and defamatory remarks by anonymous posters. In other words, oh, hey, y'all, I didn't realize that y'all were actually reading what I was putting out there. My bad. countless people have contacted me in support of this anti-bullying measure with suggestions to improve and strengthen it. People are told, hey, stop being stupid. One such change that is being considered is to tighten up the language to clarify exactly who can challenge a statement and under what circumstances that request can be made to the administrator. The intent of the bill is to focus on protecting those being targeted by malicious and false statements, but would only apply to factual concerns, not opinions. This requirement to attach your name to a statement would only apply if the statement is challenged, and it can only be challenged based on factual information, not opinion. It is the victim or target of the statement that has to reach out to the administrator.
This is idiocy.
It is. In the coming weeks, I'm hoping to meet with internet providers, website owners, and others in the online community who, by the way, are going to laugh you out of their office to work together on this legislation and refine it to offer better protection to victims of cyberbullying and other crimes.
You cannot control this. Are you kidding me?
They're going to try, apparently, or at least, you know, he's hoping, man. The First Amendment is one of our most important rights as Americans. Yes, it is. And thank you for trying to take it away from us with this bill. Thank you. And this bill ensures protection of that right for those who wish to post opinions and truthful information anonymously. Unfortunately, some opponents of this legislation have mischaracterized this bill in an attempt to have it withdrawn. It has been stated that this legislation would ban all anonymous internet postings in New York. That could not be further from the truth. When anonymous posters hide behind the internet to commit a crime, such as harassment, or as a vehicle for defamation, innocent men, women, and children are openly victimized, and the public is intentionally misled. Hey, Mr. Bureaucrat, don't y'all do this every time you go up against somebody else in elections? You tear the person apart immediately?
Yes, and it's not factually done either.
Exactly. So, hey, Mr. Bully, we're calling you out. Stop being stupid. We see what you're doing. He says this legislation merely asks making their allegations to attach their name to comments and claim responsibility, just as journalists and those writing letters to the editor of newspapers do. All right, fine. You want it out? Ginger Rocks from GameAndAtrix.com calls you an idiot because you are one. I look forward to working with a broad spectrum of groups to improve and strengthen this legislation. I am looking forward to making fun of you for a very long time because you, sir, are an idiot.
Yeah.
From one internet troll to, another, I guess, to a bureaucrat. Might as well be a troll. I see what you're doing there. I see what you did there.
I'm not understanding, though. Yeah. Something's wrong with y'all.
He's just mad. Somebody probably said something about him. He got upset because somebody wouldn't take it down because they probably thought it was true, felt it was true, whatever. So now he's going to push this.
They all lie about each other. So who are you to say what's fact? It's still an opinion.
Exactly.
That's what politics is. How can I twist the truth just enough so that it looks like it might be fact and it works in my favor?
Exactly. I mean, cause how many times have we heard about so-and-so has a love child or so-and-so had these grades in college or so-and-so smoked pot? What does this have to do with their capability of making laws now? I just want to know.
Mm-mm. Crazy. All right, well, remember we were telling you about Trip Hawkins and all the smack he's been talking lately? Yeah, well, and how he got hired on over at Digital Chocolate. He left.
You're eating chocolate.
Yes. Well, Trip Hawkins announced on his company blog that he is stepping down from his role as CEO of Digital Chocolate. He says, I am transitioning now into a consulting and advisory relationship with Digital Chocolate. For its next stage of growth, Digital Chocolate is narrowing its focus, and it made sense to get more streamlined. This news coincides with the report that Digital Chocolate is unfortunately laying off some of 180 employees across their offices worldwide, including their headquarters in San Mateo, California. The report from TechCrunch also noted that Digital Chocolate president Mark Mettis has been named the interim CEO. According to the report, half of the employees in the San Mateo and Bangalore offices are being laid off, and offices in Mexicali, Armenia, and Sandlot offices in Bethel, Washington, and St. Petersburg are being closed. Sandlot was just purchased in Digital Chocolate just last year. Digital Chocolate has been in business for about 8 years, with over $60 million in venture capital funding from Kleiner Perkins and Intel, among other investors. The company has produced titles on Facebook, iOS, Android, and the web, among other platforms. According to AppData, Digital Chocolate currently has over 6 million MAU, that's monthly active users, for those of you who don't know what that is, down from 8 million MAU a month ago. This is down from a point of 29.8 million MAU in December of 2010, due mainly to the success of Billionaire C, which played for a short period of time. It annoyed me. It did have about 12.9 million MAU at the time. Trip Hawkins, in case you don't know who he is the founder of EA and 3DO. And Monday, May 28th, is the 30th anniversary of the day he formally incorporated and founded EA. Hawkins also worked at Apple from 1979 on, when the company had only 25 employees. When he left Apple, it had grown to 4,000 employees. He spent 12 years at EA as a CEO and chairman of the board, then spent 12 years at 3DO, and now 8 years at Digital Chocolate. I'm sorry, hired on. Who just got hired on at Digital Chocolate? Or was it just him talking smack? He was saying so much. He's planning to continue working in and around the game industry. According to GI.biz, he's quoted as saying, "I will remain involved in digital media and games and be available for opportunities, including mentoring, consulting, teaching, speaking, and writing." He wrote this on his blog at his personal website, which is triphawkins.com. Trip, you were talking much smack. And everybody's like, dude, the comments are, I want to know what the real story is. So anyway, sadly, a bunch of people are losing their jobs again. If you know somebody looking for a job, send them over to our job boards, because we got some. Featured job of the day.
Yes, we do.
They're looking for a game programmer at Multimedia Games in Austin. Take a look at our boards. Yeah, you're right there. You know how to program games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh, all right, so this fight is getting good.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Microsoft wins German court decision in ongoing Motorola patent fight.
Ooh.
Uh-huh, Google suffered what some are calling a major legal defeat in a German court today in a patent fight with Microsoft. The court ruled in favor of Microsoft, who argued that Motorola has violated a patent related to text messaging. The ruling would allow Microsoft to pursue a ban on Android products in Germany. Motorola won a similar decision earlier in the month in a German court that would allow them to pursue a ban of Xbox 360 and Windows products, but a Washington federal court has forbid the company from doing so until it makes a ruling in a U.S. Legal battle about patents and licensing fees. Many see this decision as a turning point that could lead to some kind of resolution to the long-running feud between Google and Microsoft over various patents. Google closed a $12.5 billion deal on Tuesday to acquire Motorola and its patents. Google, Motorola will have to take a license and leave the German market or face serious issues that affect app developers and users. This is being said by patent law expert Florian Mueller, a legal consultant who runs the blog Foss Patents, in a tweet today. Mueller has consulted for Microsoft on patents in the past. Motorola said that it plans to closely review the written decision, which is expected to be released on June 1st, and figure out what its options are moving forward, including an appeal. Microsoft said it hopes that Motorola would join another Android device makers by licensing the company's patents.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, that's a big fight. That's going to be a good fight. I'm not even quite for sure. I don't even know who to put my money on that one, you know?
I don't either. That's bigger than the Godzilla versus Mothra. That's like God versus the devil. What is
that is huge.
But who's the devil in this instance is the question.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Microsoft.
Yeah. Ginger. Run. Hide your kids, hide your wife. And hide your console.
I know, Microsoft, I love you, and oh my God, please don't break my Windows. But right now I'm mad at you because my Xbox is foobarred.
You know, I was going to tell you, whatever this is, I think it actually has to do with the Xbox. Do you have a newer Xbox?
Yes.
Okay, this is what I have noticed. People who have newer Xboxes and those of us who bought the the little plug-in, because it's a little peripheral to pick up Wi-Fi. Mine loses the Wi-Fi connection every time I turn it on. I have to run it through the diagnostic every time since they did an update when they switched the dashboard.
Well, see, it's not even that. Something is wrong with the network setting inside of it. It won't pick up the hardwire now either.
Hers was doing the same thing. ZQ was having the same issue.
Did she fix it?
Well, no, she thought it was her cable, so she went to buy a new one. See, and I'm seeing a pattern here.
Yeah, so I went out and bought a whole new modem yesterday. Because I have cable to that room. I have hardwire, but I've never used it. So I tested it, and it works on the Wii, and it works on the PS3, but the Xbox refuses to pick it up, wireless or the hardwire.
Sounds to us like we have a problem, Microsoft. Fix it.
Yes, Microsoft, me and you about to go round and round, buddy.
Fix it. She's thumbing her nose. Fix
it. Yes, I wanted to play Friday night with some friends, and I couldn't.
Yeah, because they were asking. They were looking for where you were.
I know, because I did a show with them Friday, and then I was going to come on and play with them that night. We were going to play poker.
Yeah, I got to them, by the way.
Huh?
I was like, I got onto the mother. I said, why I didn't get an invite? They were like,
Shame on you.
How you
Shame
is.
Shame on you. Yeah, I know. So I was going to play with them Friday, and then I couldn't get it hooked up. I couldn't get it hooked up to my wireless. And I was like, well, maybe my router is just weak or something. So I was like, all right, well, I know I have cable to that room, so I went and bought a modem. No such luck.
Nope. It's not you.
No, it's not me. It's the Microsoft. It's the Microsoft.
It's the Microsoft beast.
Yes, it's the Microsoft.
Well, I'm about to really make you angry because you're not going to like this. It's going to be a short story, and then I'm going to grab another one if you don't mind.
Uh-oh.
Ginger. I'm very sorry to tell you this, Ginger, but there will be no ice cream sandwich for Xperia Play.
What?
Yep, according to according to GI.biz this morning, Sony will not make the latest Android 4.0 ice cream sandwich, as we call it, software available to users of its Xperia Play smartphone. Sony made its intentions clear on its official Sony Xperia blog. It said, in regards to Xperia Play, after extensive in-house testing with our developer teams and working with our partners, we have concluded that a consistent and stable experience, particularly with gaming, cannot be guaranteed on this smartphone for this smartphone on Ice Cream Sandwich. Therefore, we will not make the Android 4.0 upgrade available for Xperia Play. It said that its decision was based on feedback from developers and game content providers. It will be available for all other 2011 Xperia phones, including the Xperia Arc, Xperia Pro, and Xperia Ray. The Android update adds new features like face unlock, voice search, and better browsing. But unless you got a new one, you won't be seeing it.
Wow.
Yep.
We all suck.
I'm sorry.
I wanted an ice cream sandwich.
I'm sorry, Ginger. And I got another one. Wait a minute. What happened to my new
one? Oh, you got another one? All right.
I had a short one, and I see. Oh, yeah. This is just to let you know, those of you who likes you some APB, today they have a Memorial Day double discount. And also, if you were playing on Steam yesterday, you probably missed out on playing Civilization. It was free all the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, I saw it right when we were playing Guns of Icarus. I was like, damn it, I love some Civi, and I could have been playing. Anyway, for those of you who like yourself some APB, they have a new update, 1.8.0, and it's saying you've – why can I not speak? I think the coffee just hit my bloodstream. Woo! Okay. Anyway, so they're saying in this particular update, you've invaded the urban jungle of San Paro with exciting new content and events. If you log in today during Memorial Day, and you'll be able to see everything that the new update has to offer, including a limited time double premium discount, Joker Mystery Box 3, and you'll get some new weapon skins. This will be going on from the 26th through today, Pacific Daylight Time. So 11:59 Pacific Daylight Time, which is about 2 in the morning for us and maybe 3 in the morning for you New York people, premium members can enjoy a 40% discount on Aramis items. You get your favorite weapons and items, including the new weapon skins. Yes, I love that name. You get your weapon skins for 40% off. If you don't have premium, you can get it again today, 40% off.
Yay!
The Joker Mystery Box is supposed to grant you a chance at the new OCA Nano Connoisseur and other awesome prizes. The Nano has never before been released and is unique, a silenced automatic Ooh, hot. Will the Nano be the newest addition to your inventory? Weapon skins, so you choose from 14 new weapon skins to match your gear, obliterate your enemies in style and easily with interchangeable looks. Yes, so you can get the blinged out gold weapon for you ballin' people that like to ball. You get a variety of national flags from the world's most killer countries. Camouflage, so you can take down your target before they even see you. Unique skins, because you're unique, duh. And you can make your way around Senpaaro and unlock even more skins as you progress. Yay! You can go ahead and check that out again. 1.8.0. Get your little self over to gamersfirst.com and get yourself a free APB account. And maybe you can pick up some of these things. I like the silencer. Now I can just walk up and pop old men in the back of the head. Pow! Give me your wallet!
That's awesome.
Oh, hope the FCC is not listening to this show. Oh, we're going to get in trouble. I got my Frankenstein back working because I've been jonesing to play some APB. I was last night. I was like, I just feel like running over some people just for no reason at all other than you just crossing the street and in my way. It was just one of those nights last night. I had some chocolate. Oh, and Jay says, right now, Ice Cream Sandwich is buggy. Said it killed his Nexus S4G. So you guys want to be aware of that if you got a Nexus.
That ain't cool.
Well, see, Ginger, you might be lucking out.
I might be.
Do I have ice cream? How do I tell if I have ice cream? Let me check. Did they update me?
I don't know, but I got some big push the other day that actually... Oh, all right. I have to do this rant. I'm sorry. I got an update the other day. While we were on air, they totally disabled my phone.
Ooh.
Completely. I had to call into a number to reenact my phone. But I have a cell phone. I don't have a landline.
So you can't call in?
I couldn't call in.
You need to have a little... Get you a magic jack, girl. It's a $19.
I may have to. I was hot. I was like, really? You're going to send me a push to my phone that disables my phone? What if this is, this is the only phone I have. What if something had happened that I needed to call 911, the fire department, something? And I couldn't because you disabled my phone without any warning. I didn't even get a choice. The phone did it on its own.
You know, I notice every time I open my Skype on my phone, it starts updating everything. I don't know what it is about Skype. Microsoft, get off my phone.
Yeah. I've got Skype mobile on my phone, and I'm going to go back to regular Skype later today because, I ended up having to use Skype mobile yesterday. But Skype mobile is crap. I can't actually get phone calls on it. All I can do is text.
Ew.
And that just doesn't work for me. Yeah.
I can do phone calls. I'll be talking to people just rolling through the city.
I used to have them both. And I was like, I bet Skype Mobile is the same thing. So I took off the regular Skype.
It's the Wi-Fi thing in the other Skype to use on, if you use a regular one to use on your phone. So it picks up, it uses the Wi-Fi like as you're driving, other people's bounce.
That's
which
awesome.
Is nice. It's nice.
Yes.
Okay. It be your turn, does it?
It does be my turn. The time of the superheroes. Everybody rise up. Yes. Reddit founder and Fight for the Future create the Internet Defense League. This
really?
Is awesome. I read about I read about this Friday after we got off air, and this is kind of cool. Oh, all right. I've got two stories, but I'm going to go with first one first. The original story says Reddit founder Alexis Ohanian, an online activist, want to be able to have a system in place that can enable an online protest at the push of a button. Earlier this year, Reddit and other online destinations participated in a blackout to protest SOPA and PIPA. Hey, that was us too.
Yep.
And Reddit wants to make that practice easier, and particularly in light of all the crazy legislation that seems to be coming out of Washington, D.C. on a regular basis. Ohanian has partnered with online advocacy group Fight for the Future to create the Internet Defense League, which he describes as a bat signal for the Internet. The plan is to launch the system next month. The plan will allow any website that wants to get involved in an online protest to add a small bit of code that can be triggered when a serious political fight arises. Corey, we need this.
Okay, just give me the link, girl.
All right, so this call to action code could be enabled using a widget or banner that would ask users to sign petitions, call their lawmakers, or boycott companies that support horrible laws. Ohanian says people who wish to be tapped can see, oh look, that signal's up, time to do something. Whatever website you own, this is a way for you to be notified if something comes up and take some basic action.
That's right.
We aggregate everyone that's doing it, the numbers start exploding. This is awesome. Tiffany Chang, co-director of Fight for the Future, tells Forbes that this code could even be used as a blackout technique that activists use to successfully defeat SOPA. She says, we'll invent something at the time, and it'll be something really unified and shocking action. We are creating the tools and the forms of protest that allow for vile organizing. That's how the SOPA protests were able to get started and grow to the level they did.
Mm-hmm.
So far, Reddit, IMGR, anyways, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, Cheeseburger Network, Mozilla, Public Knowledge have signed up. Currently, the focus of the Reddit founder and Fight for the Future is in defeating CISPA and Secure IT Act. This is awesome, and I will send you the link for this.
I'm all up.
Yeah. All right, so that was a long story, but I've got another one that ties into it, apparently.
Uh-oh. Do it.
Yeah. All right, huge failure due to massive error. This is coming from the fightforthefuture.org. Fight for the Future, a project of Center for Rights, which in turn is a 501c4 nonprofit, back in January, we decided to move to a new service, ActionKit, for sending emails. During that process, we asked our former provider, Blue State Digital, for an export of subscribed users only. Instead, they gave us an export that included all users, and as a result, our last mailing went to every one of the 84,000 people who had unsubscribed from our list. This makes us feel sick. To everyone that happened to, we are so sorry. It will never happen again. The same mistake is also destroyed by the anti-spam community. In February, Spam House contacted us to say that harvested emails were getting on our list, and we worked with them to a resolution, unsubscribing all 33,000 emails from the petition that seemed to be the problem. After we dumped these emails, Spam House gave us the go-ahead to continue using our list. So apparently they just had a boo-boo. Wasn't technically their fault. Stuff happens, but they say we're sorry. So if anybody got spammed, they're bad. They're going to try not to do it again. I thought this was going to be something juicy. It wasn't. Kind of boring. So, yeah, they spammed people. Didn't mean to. Oops, our bad.
All right.
Stuff happens. At least it wasn't, you know, get your penis enlarger here.
Ooh. That's nasty, Ginger. Well, I got a short one, then I have another one after.
What you got?
This game called Eight Realms, the MMO. That's the name of it, Eight Realms MMO. Following the closure of one of its browser-based MMOs, the company that made it, Jagex, has laid off a number of its staff, according to media reports. The studio confirmed the closure of MMO Eight Realms to Gamma Sutra, stating, during the Eight Realms beta, it has become clear that the game doesn't meet our high expectations for success, and we are therefore channeling our focus on other exciting opportunities in the pipeline. It declined to comment on layoffs, however. UK industry site Develop reports that the MMO closure has led to layoffs, while some staff have been moved to other positions in the company. Ooh, sorry, guys. Also, the devil has been named as the top creative person. Okay, let me be specific. Actually, Tim Schafer, who is Business publication Fast Company has unveiled its 2012 list of the top 100 creative full annual celebration of business innovators who dare to think differently. Notably, three people in the gaming mode list is Double Fine's Tim Schafer, EA Sports boss Andrew Wilson, and Chelsea Howe, who's the director of design at Super Better Labs. Schafer, of course, has very much been in the spotlight these days thanks to the enormous success of his Double Fine Adventure project on Kickstarter, which helped to solidify crowdfunding as a legitimate business model for small to medium-sized game projects. Wilson's been serving as the head of EA Sports since Peter Moore moved up to take the COO position. Wilson oversees huge brands like Madden NFL, FIFA, and Tiger Woods. And we all know FIFA will not leave the top 10 for almost like 6 or 7 months now. Good God. He's also helping to push the video game sports world into the games as services field and online and digital. As online and digital become increasingly important, how is the least of the three? Her latest title falls more into the serious game sector. something you've goals to recover from injuries. All three of these people were briefly interviewed and provided some interesting responses. You can read them over at fastcompany.com. The most poignant comment may have come from Schaefer, who noted that designers don't appear to take as many risks these days. He's very true. He alluded to the Mass Effect 3 ending controversy as well. He said the internet has allowed a lot of access. People feel entitled to change the ending of games, for example, so there are a lot more voices coming at you all the time, which I think has its effect on creative decision-making and possibly makes people more afraid to take risks. Did we not say that? I told you at Mass Effect, I've not played a single solitary one of your games. I know they're good. I just haven't made my way around to them, and I would prefer you not change the ending. Prefer you not cave. These people should not be affecting how you make your game. If that's the case, then you need to hand them the code and tell them, get busy. Get it done. If you want to make the game, then you do it. We're not changing a damn thing, and that's what she said.
All right, so what have we got? I have apparently lost what I had. There we go. Here we go. Disabled gamer supported by indie game bundle. Have we already talked about this?
I don't think so.
All right, so the Able Gamers Foundation will be featured alongside the Red Cross as one of the two charities supported by the Indie Gala bundle.
Yay!
Where the industry's hottest indie games and music are put up in a pay-what-you-want style sale. We are absolutely honored by Indie Gala's founders, says Able Gamers editor-in-chief Steve Spawn. See, I said it right. They have taken a real shine to supporting the disabled community. They believe in the idea that every gamer should have a right to play spectacular games, regardless of disability or financial situation. Indie bundles are important to the gaming industry, says Kaufman, Able Gamers Indie Game Specialist. They help spread the word of awesome lesser-known indie games while raising money for underfunded charities like the Able Gamers Foundation. Able Gamers has always supported the indie development community. This is coming from Mark Bartlett, president and co-founder of the Able Gamers Foundation. They are always more... Never scroll. They are always more receptive to adding accessibility in a timely manner than big studios can manage in order to include as many gamers as possible. The passion that they have for games and sales like this is inspiring. All right, so the Indie Gala 5 bundle sale is going on now, but will only be available for 2 weeks before it's gone forever. So they say please take advantage of and share this opportunity to show some wonderful games and to own some wonderful games and help support a couple of great charities in the process. All right, so if you want more information about Indie Bundle, you can head over to IndieGala.com. And I have this up on GameMatrix.com this morning, so head over there and check it out. Do it.
Okay, I just got this lovely, lovely story. And remember, we tend to play a few games via Gamerscape. They're kind of a Steam-esque kind of service. Well, the people at Gamerscape say, how about we just let you play whatever game you want for free? Now, you may say, why would I want to do this? What's over there at Gamerscape that I would want to play? Well, I'm looking at...
Oh, my God, they have some awesome games.
Yes, I'm looking at Resident Evil. I'm looking at Saints Row. I'm looking at some other games that you may not have heard of, some from the UK. That Bus Simulator, which I'm going to play. I don't care if y'all laugh at me. I'm playing it. I must play it. I have to. I love simulators, and it's about a bus. Do I get to throw people off? Do I get to charge something? Okay, so let me tell you how it works. This is a new system that they just put into place, apparently. They sent this over like a second ago. They're calling it... it's going to be much like buying games on Gamergate, except for, again, it's free. It's based on slots. So the slots decide how many games you can play. So, for example, you need to open a slot and choose and play a void game. The number and types of slots you have decide on how many games you have available at any given time. You can pick your favorite game, and then you fill a slot with the void game. This will take you to a new screen with all of the available void games. Select a game, confirm you like it, add it to your slot, and then you just go ahead and play. Now, there is a catch. Once the slot is occupied by a game, you can download and install it by selecting a slot with a game in it, and then you launch it, but you do have to watch a few video advertisements to support the developers, and it's about 60 seconds long, so that's time enough for you to get up, go get a drink, get your blanket. Well, that's me. I have to have a blanket and some slippy socks on when I play because I keep it cold in the house. I like it. So then you come back, you sit down, you get all ready to play. After a set of days, you will have the option to exchange the game in your slot for another one, or you can just keep playing the game forever. That's right.
Ever?
Yes, the same game forever. Slots can be upgraded to quicken the cooldown, and you can also get more slots. Of course, you'll have to pay for those. But I'm thinking if you're a little strapped for cash, you're good. You can sit and play and finish your game and then get to the next one. They say they're going to continue to add games to the void all the time. Their goal is to have as many games as possible, both old and goodies, new releases. They said enjoy. They hope you enjoy playing playing in the void. I don't think we don't really do us any good to have it, but you might like it. Oh, let me see what's on the void menu. They're not showing me. Why are you not showing me?
Why are you not showing us nothing?
Anyway, you can go over to gamersgate.com/void if you are interested. It is free to sign up for Gamersgate, and they're not a bad service. They're just not as well known as Steam, and they're not all as flashy as Steam with all the moving things. Here's this. But same premise, you get to download, you play. I don't think they have any social things put in yet, but the more you come over, you never know. They might get to be able to rival Steam at some point.
That could be cool.
It could be. Yeah. I don't have nothing against Steam. Do we just try to get Blaster not to be such a Steam fanboy? Oh, my God.
Such a Steam fanboy.
Girl, do you see there's an agricultural simulator. I'm so in. What can I do in it? Oh my God! Look at that. I got the tractor. What's it? I'm in. Y'all don't talk to me after the show. Don't talk to me.
Corey is gonna be so gone.
There is a tractor. I got a tractor.
A tractor.
A tractor.
Nice. Yeah, Corey's gonna be gone. We're gonna lose her forever and ever and ever.
Farming between the 1950s and 1970. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
I know y'all are like, what is wrong with that chick?
Corey is a little bit of a thing for farming. Yeah, so if you're a cowboy, you've got, you know.
Rawr.
yeah, totally. All right, so Stronghold Kingdoms. Have we talked about this?
I don't know. Did we? Ginger, did we lose you?
No. Sorry, I was hearing something strange.
Ginger, come back to us.
Yeah. Stronghold Kingdoms becomes second most popular free-to-play game on Steam. Firefly Studios today announced that Stronghold Kingdoms has remained the second most popular free-to-play game on Steam since the title launched on the service 3 months ago. Stronghold Kingdoms has made a name for itself on Steam since the game became available on the service on 28th of February 2012, claiming the number two spot in the Steam's free-to-play section ahead of the titles like APB Reloaded and DC Universe Online. Kingdoms has remained the second most popular free-to-play game on Steam for 3 months. Instantly popular with Steam users, Kingdoms managed to hold off companies such as Super Monday Night Combat and World of Battles Morningstar, and even break into the overall top 10 played games on Steam. Awesome! All right, so if you want more information about this, I have it up on GameMatrix.com this morning. Go check it out.
I am sorry to come with more bad news. This is the morning of bad news.
Uh-oh.
And I scrolled, so I lost it. But it was having to do with 38 Studios, I can tell you that. Ah, I found it. Did we talk about 38 Studios and what's happening to the employees? I know we mentioned the insurance issue.
I don't remember.
Well, let me share with you. It keeps going from bad to worse. This is actually late today, Friday, way late today. Of course, the implosion of 38 Studios has been an ongoing nightmare for the studio's former employees. They haven't been paid since April 30th. Their health insurance ran out, and the company unceremoniously laid off everyone on Thursday. Now, Polygon, another website, is reporting that employees who took advantage of the studio's relocation plan are being stuck with their former mortgages.
Oh, that's not good. Oh, that hurts.
38 Studios used to be located in Massachusetts, but moved to Rhode Island on the promise of tax credits and funding to make the transition smoother. 38 Studios agreed to take over the existing mortgages of employees, allowing them to purchase new homes in Rhode Island. Sounded great at the time, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Now certain employees are saying the banks are calling them about a lack of payment on their old mortgages. Much like the news of the layoffs, Rhode Island officials had no knowledge of a mortgage problem when contacted by Polygon, and one former 38 employee blames those same officials for the state of the company. They're quoted as saying, actually, this is the director of Sony and IP development, Steve Danaher, told NE CN.com that said we just needed a little more help. And we put the state at our back on that. We thought the governor was an ally. It didn't turn out that way. He's also quoted as saying, we really loved it here. We bought homes. We've helped the businesses in the area. The governor has turned his back on a lot of taxpaying Rhode Island citizens who work here, and it's unfortunate because we had a lot of great people who wanted to contribute to Rhode Island, and now they can't. The Staffless Studio is now seeking private capital in order to restart development. Corporate lawyer Jonathan Savage is helping Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chaffee with 38 Studios' ongoing effort to return from the brink of death. They are diligently pursuing additional capital, Savage told the Boston Herald. I would anticipate any additional capital would be private. Savage says that the 38 Studios founder, Kurt Schilling, is apparently willing to do whatever it takes to make sure the company achieves some measure of success. Savage said he heard Mr. Schilling's representative that his goal is the success of the company. They said they don't want in any way to impede that success. Everything is on the table, including dissolution of equity and management control. There are any number of actions a business could take. There are certainly other potential options. It's difficult to say how viable other options might be, he answered when asked about the possible bankruptcy proceedings. Oof. All is not dire news, though. A number of developers and
sounds pretty dire.
A number of developers and publishers have reached out to the former employees of 38 Studios. Studios that are hiring have been collected on a document on Google, which I will link to on Twitter. And those looking to help are using the hashtag 38 jobs on Twitter. Wow. Yeah.
I don't know what to think about this.
Wow. That is horrible.
It is totally horrible. All right. Oh, man. And I remember the story Snow was telling us Thursday night that one of them was a pregnant lady, too. Her husband worked for him for 38 Studios. How they found out it was all going down was that she'd gone to the OBGYN and her insurance had been declined.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy.
Pregnancy is already stressful enough.
Exactly. You don't need this on top of it. All right, so UCash partners with EVE Online, e-money payment solution now accepted in leading sci-fi MMORPG. By the way, people, I want that account. Send me one. UCash, the global e-money company, has teamed up with CCP Games, EVE Online, to offer players an alternative and in-game payment solution. UCash is a convenient, safe, and secure way to pay online. There's no need to share personal details, and users need a bank account or card to use UCash. EVE Online players of any age can now use UCash to buy game time, and options include 1, 3, 6, and 12-month packages. Buy Plex, an in-game item that can be used to pay for subscriptions without using more traditional payment methods. And pay for a character transfer. Players can transfer one character of an active account onto another account. UCash works by exchanging notes and coins for a unique 19-digit UCash code at over 40,000 outlets in the UK, including many newsagents and corner stores.
Wow.
The unique code, can then be used to pay directly on over 5,000 websites that accept UCash worldwide.
Ooh.
Users simply need to visit the payment page and choose the UCash option from the list of payment methods, then type in the 19-digit code and the value.
I want to see.
Yeah, that's kind of awesome.
I probably don't have access.
I don't have access on notes.
It says you do not have permission to access the server.
Well, that's
it says under development. What the fuzzy?
UKASH?
Oh, I'm spelling it wrong. Is it .com?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, not a C.
Oh. Let me see. I want to see what they got. Because somebody else owns UCash. Oh, nice. Oh, very nice. That's not right, Ginger.
It's not right.
That's a magazine. YOUKASH?
No, you. You is in you. Oh. The letter U. Yeah, because, you know, they're hip with the times, man. They're hip with the times.
This is a very pretty website I happened upon by accident, however. Ah, now I am there. This is nice, too. Welcome to UCash. Please tell us where you're visiting from. From the U.S.
Uh-oh, somebody else. Yeah. Awesome.
How lovely.
Lovely, lovely.
I like it. I'm keeping it as a link. I'm going to book it. All right. I wanted to check it out. That was it's really ingenious. I thought WePay was ingenious. That's ingenious. I got a lot.
That is really cool.
Okay, well, we got time, I think, for one more.
Yeah.
Did you have another one you want to throw in, or may
I can do another one. Sure, I can do another one. I had all kinds of fun different things that were coming out today.
Rawr.
Rawr, so rawr. But where did it go? I had one. I know I did, and it was cool.
You all think Ginger's little rawr is so cute.
Yeah, that was kind of amusing yesterday. Oh, she sounds so adorable. That's a good way to get stabbed, dude. All right, so, not good. This is a really short one, so I may grab two. Game Australia to close 60 stores. Did we talk about this?
We mentioned it might happen.
Yeah. PricewaterhouseCoopers, an administrator for Game Australia, announced plans to close a number of underperforming retail stores in the country today. PricewaterhouseCoopers announced that it will close 60 stores in Australia and lay off 264 employees.
Oof.
Ouch, I'm so sorry. 17 additional employees will be let go at Game's head office as well. This is a difficult time for employees, and closing the stores was not a decision we made easily, says Kate Warwick of PricewaterhouseCoopers. However, it is not financially viable to continue to operate at this level at this time. PwC said that it will assist laid-off employees throughout the process along with the local federal government departments. The administrator did not reveal specific stores to be closed, but did say they have evaluated all of the Australia game retail locations and plan to call those stores that are not proving to be profitable. Ouch. I'm sorry, guys. That hurts.
Oof.
All right. We got a couple of minutes. Can I do one more?
Yeah, go ahead.
This ties into one earlier. Advocacy groups launch Privacy is Awesome to fight CISPA and Secure IT Act. Advocacy groups Fight for the Future, Democrats.com, the Liberty Coalition, and the Entertainment Consumer Association, the ECA, have banded together to create a new website called Privacy is Awesome to fight against CISPA and the Senate version of the bill, Secure IT Act. The site is designed to teach netizens how to defeat the bills in 5 easy steps. Number 1, call your senators and tell them to oppose the Lieberman-Collins bill and CISPA. Number 2, email your senator's office about CISPA. Number 3, follow up with your senators until they plan a constituent meeting. 4, donate to anti-CISPA organizations. And 5, spread the word. Tell your friends, family, and anyone else you can think of about the website and fight against these bills. All right, so you want to check this out? Head over to privacyisawesome.com. Privacy is not only awesome, it is as American as apple pie, mom, and baseball. Let's preserve it by letting lawmakers know that, once again, they are on the wrong track when it comes to fighting against cybersecurity threats.
Why do they say as American as apple pie?
I don't know, and why couldn't I say that? I was, like, tripping over it.
Why is it baseball? I think more football is more...
Yeah. Do they play baseball in other countries?
Not really. They don't play our version of football in other countries either. But I see more uproar about football than I do baseball. Think about it. When we have the Super Bowl, do you see people that have World Series parties, or do you see people that have Super Bowl parties?
That's true.
Yeah. So
that's true, yeah.
The only time I think I knew there was a World Series is I want to say the Astros were in it. You know, our Texas team. And it was only because they were inconvenient to me. I couldn't get to the grocery store because I live in the vicinity of where all this happens.
Yeah.
And I was like, why can I not get to the store today? What's going on? And this would be out the window. Oh, God. It's like, World Series, when did that happen? Okay. So anyway, guys, it's about that time for us to get out of here. We hope you have a fantastic Memorial Day. Let me reach back and grab something old to tell you. If you drink like a fish swims, please do not drink and drive today. Okay? Stay where you are. You guys, be like the women, pack yourself a bag and take it with you to your friend's house if you think you're going to drink, and that way when you get up, you can leave and go straight to work. Bring your clothes with you. Drink and stay safe, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. You know where to find us, GamerNatrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, and everywhere in between. Mwah. Ginger.
Goodbye, boys and girls. Mwah.